is the New York State AFERD podcast entitled A through Z Health and PE. We are your co-hosts, Drs. C and C, the true Pan-American connection. I am Clancy Seymour, and my tag team partner is the one and only Dr. Victor Ramsey.
Details highlighting our episodes, guests, contact information, publications, and other useful resources will always be included in the podcast show notes. For more information about New York State AFERD, please visit newyorkstateaferd.org or Facebook and social media handles at New York State AFERD. Let's embrace the journey, and now, on to our show.
Greetings, listeners. I am Dr. Clancy Seymour with my co-host, Dr. Victor Ramsey. Doc, how are you, my friend?
Doing well, my good man. Doing well.
Good to always see you. Good to see you.
Likewise.
Welcome to episode 5 of the New York State AFERD A through Z Health and PE podcast. And in the next 3 sessions, we've invited special guests and students for my summer capstone and contemporary issues class at Canisius College. Students in this combined class are graduate teacher candidates on the verge of student teaching in the fall or newly inducted teachers in the professions themselves. We have asked special guests and students to review journal articles ahead of time to discuss accordingly. The article we'll be chatting about today is entitled, A Professional Legacy is a Journey, What Path Will You Travel? Go figure, right, Doc?
Indeed, indeed.
Therefore, and in addition to Dr. Ramsey, my students, and myself, I'm excited to introduce our special guest today for the episode, the Honorable Executive Director of New York State AFERD, yes, the one, the only, Miss Colleen Corsi.
Happy to be here, Clancy. Thank you.
It's good to have you. It's good to have you. Okay. All right, folks. So we've all had a chance to read the article, which in the Cliff Notes version stresses the importance of professional association membership like New York State AFERD. So for our graduate students, why don't you share a few of your thoughts, but maybe also include for the listeners a little bit about yourself in terms of where you are in the journey. Are you a teacher candidate that's on the precipice of student teaching, or are you a newly minted teacher in the beginning of your professional career? So with that, take it away.
I can jump in here first. My name is Rob Amberger. I am going into student teaching this upcoming fall, so I've got a few months to keep on preparing for that. But after going through a year of academics under Dr. Seymour's advisement, I've learned one phrase which he loves to teach to us, and I think it aligns really well with this article for sure, and that is, excellence is a journey and not a destination. The way I like to think of it is teaching is kind of different than most other jobs in the sense where you don't really plateau. There's no maximum level of, oh, I'm a great teacher and I'm just going to continue to be a great teacher. You could be a great teacher and come in the next day and totally fall on your face and have an awful day. Whereas if maybe you're in a different job, let's say an accountant, you can reach a plateau where you know all the tricks of the trade and you don't really work to get better and better each day. Whereas with teaching, you really need to continue to do that. So that's kind of the main role of, I guess, professional development and resources with New York State AFERD or Shape America. And it's our job to continue to use those resources so we don't plateau and we keep rising and rising to reach excellence, which, like I said, is a journey and not a destination. So those are my thoughts.
I'll jump in here as well. My name is Mike McCoy. I've been a teacher this is my 8th school year. I was in a charter school in the Bronx for 5 years. This is my 3rd year in the New York City Department of Education. I agree with a lot what Rob said. As teachers, being good enough is not always good enough. You know, there's always room for improvement. in what we do. Even from day to day, even from class to class, you know, there may be some things that work with class A that doesn't work with class B. And just us learning to grow professionally is very vital. Something in the article that stood out really to me was in 2007, I believe it was 8%, if I'm not mistaken, of all HPE teachers were members of Shape America, which to me was super low. When I made the transfer personally from a charter school to the Department of Education, there were actually some professional developments that I had to go to. I didn't look at it that I had to go to it, but it was part of my requirements. Dr. Ramsey was actually at most of those, if not all of those, and just learn just every journey you're going on, just getting something from each professional development that you go to can only help you grow. And that helps you, the profession grow, because we're sometimes looked at as, oh, it's just gym. And we've stepped away. We've grown so much as a profession from, hey, we're just going to roll the balls out and let the kids play. We are teachers. We have age appropriate goals, just like any other content area. And it's important that all HPE teachers look at it that way and try to grow professionally.
I'd like to add to that conversation. In regards to professional development, not only are we looking for ways to always tweak what we're doing, there's always things that are evolving that we have to be modern and stay up to date. So like you said, you go to those, to a conference of professional development, and you take yourself out of the school element where you're isolated amongst the other teachers. And a lot of those professional developments aren't geared toward our profession. And you go to a place where we're all like-minded individuals. And the one thing that I love about going to those things is that there are people that have been in the industry for years and that are very wise and have some things that they can share with you to grow. And then there are young individuals like many of you that are bringing new ideas to phys ed. So to be able to use all of those things to grow within your own class and your teaching style, I think there's a magnitude of things that are taken away from being a part of professional organizations.
To piggyback on that point too, I think with the 8%, it's amazing because I started my journey. I'm Kyle Connolly, by the way. I'm in Portland, Oregon right now. And I just think that it's amazing because I started my journey in the field of elementary education, and it was readily available, and professional development was readily pushed on you. Like it was, you knew that it was a thing you were supposed to do, that it was a thing that was going to make you better at your craft, and knew that it was a place with like-minded people. And I really believe that in physical education, we're getting to that point, but a lot of physical educators don't even know the importance of a professional community or a professional association. So therefore, they don't even know what they're missing out on based on the fact that they don't even know it exists, which is, I think it's a in the area of physical education teaching, we need to do a better job of championing the fact that there is a place where like-minded people are meeting, and there's a place that you can go to share your ideas, to learn and to grow. And to speak about the professional development, is you've got to, I feel like what I took from this article is you have to know that you don't know everything, first of all, and that you have to be willing to not be stubborn and set in your ways just because you sit there and say, well, I learned this my first year of freshman undergrad. Well, things are drastically changing, not only just in the profession, but in the world around us. And each time those things change, new ideas and new ways to attack the profession come up. And I believe that it's extremely important that all of us, no matter if you're your first year or if you're getting older in the tooth like me, that you need to be able to recognize that and be able to change accordingly based on what your students need, because at the end of the day, it's all about what your students need and their growth. So
I'd like to add to that. My name's Alexis Miller, and I'll be a student teaching in the fall. I think when I started the physical education master's program at Canisius, we were asked to join the professional membership, Shape America. And I think that really from the beginning, us being able to be a part of that and see all the benefits that the association can bring us has really been so beneficial. I think we've used Shape America in everything that we do in creating our lesson plans and just taking advice and everything from other physical education teachers. And I think that having Clancy as a mentor, he is showing his professional legacy by helping us shape into the professional leaders that we're becoming.
Piggybacking off that, I agree with everything Alexis said. Oh, sorry, my name is Brianna Clark, and I'm in the graduate program at Canisius starting my student teaching as well in the fall. And also what Kyle said, I really liked how he said is we're there for our students and with professional development, especially everything that just happened the past year with COVID. We were virtual online. It's incredibly hard with physical education doing that online. So doing the virtual conferences with New York State AFRID, learning about like Nearpod and other any other types of different technologies. I'm not the most savvy with them. So whenever I can like get help from coworkers or even like other professionals, I think it's a great opportunity for everyone.
Bree, also I agree with, this is Rob again. What you just said about joining those New York State AFRID conferences this past year, I was in all of those with you and Lexi and Sam. Those were great because learning about those resources was awesome, but also just, it was a time for all the phys ed teachers to vent. Like we were hearing about their struggles, their successes and everything. And it's just great networking and also learning about resources, like you said.
To jump off of that, I'm Sarah Fernald. I'm a first year teacher, first year grad student at Canisius. I actually got the opportunity to, through Brockport, to present at the Central Western Zone Conference on using technology in our student teaching experiences. And it was awesome to get to know with just a small group that we presented with that everybody was going through the same thing. I think that was probably the best part about it, was having that commonality with other people and not feeling like you were totally alone.
This is Kyle again. Sarah, that's a great point, because speaking of that commonality, I found when I was teaching online this year, it was so isolating because my job description to try to teach physical education through a computer is so much different than trying to teach a classroom core subject through a computer. So having that association where you can go, and it doesn't even need to be a situation where you learn something, just like-minded people that you know they're feeling the same feelings you are, the same frustrations you are. Let's say you planned all weekend for a great lesson and the internet went out or something. That there's more that just to bounce ideas and just that frustration off each other, and just to understand that, wait, I'm not alone in this. No, because for me, that online setting really isolated specials, because you don't have a partner. And for me, I'm the only PE teacher at my school, so I don't have a partner. So there was nobody. So without that association, I couldn't bounce anything off anybody or vent or anything like that. So great point.
Yeah, and Kyle, I'll add to your point as well. My name is Luke Paulus. I'm going to be a student teacher in the fall, and I'm also in the graduate program at Canisius. I think that the association, and especially some of the regional meetings and the state conferences, showed how committed everybody was to the profession. And they bounced ideas off one another and really tried to make sure that everybody was able to teach their students in the best and most effective way possible with all the challenges that we faced this past school year. And then going into, you know, next school year is hopefully kind of a return to normal. I think people are still going to continue to do that. And that's a real benefit from these professional associations.
I also want to add something. This is Mike McCoy again. Kyle, you said something really important earlier. You said something along the lines of a lot of people don't even know that those resources exist. I actually went to a professional development late last year for the New York City Department of Ed. And the presenter actually showed everyone in the meeting a link of like actual like slideshows, actual lesson ideas for the students. And as we said before, these professional developments and these resources are for the students. It's for us, yes, but it's for the students. So just being aware that they exist is a big deal.
This is Darcy Mitchell. I just finished my first semester in the program at Canisius. So I'm still pretty new, and I'm taking in everything that I can through readings and, you know, different Zoom calls and different things like that. I know that the Zooms that we were a part of for the AFERD conferences early on in the spring semester were super beneficial for me because we're able to see who's already been there, has done that, especially through these trying times of, you know, teaching through the coronavirus, how everything's switching up and how everything's changing, how everyone's adapting to new ways. Being, you know, younger and being in the program, just starting off, being able to see that and take all of that in from people from the association is so huge. And I know I have a ton to learn, but being able to see that and hear from those people is so valuable.
Hi, everyone. So my name is Sam Schultz, and everyone has made so many amazing points, and I've wanted to jump in so many times, but I've wanted to let everybody kind of like get everything out of their mind that's going on. But some things that have been going on in my mind while you all have been speaking. So with all of these amazing like professional developments with New York State AFERD, I definitely have had the opportunity to just learn about all the amazing resources that are offered and the fact that we get to grow our network and the fact that we, yes, as the majority of us are graduate students, it is a, like a requirement for us to be a part of these professional organizations. But I do have to say that in my personal opinion, it's been extremely beneficial just because I've found so many of these like amazing articles and amazing websites and just things that have helped me to create so many amazing ideas when it comes to lesson plans and being able to be at West Seneca East this past semester and then going to be a student teacher in the fall there. I have so many amazing ideas just to implement and to create all of these awesome lesson plans. And especially since the majority of us are being assimilated right now and learning all of these amazing ways to utilize technology because of this pandemic that's going on, I feel like it's like a blessing in disguise for the majority of us because we're kind of being forced to take a step forward and be like, okay, this is the way the things used to be done. Now we're learning all of these amazing new things and we're utilizing them to not only grow ourselves as professionals, but to realize things that are really important, like mental health and all of these things that help us create better relationships with our students and with our athletes. Like, I never thought I would necessarily be a sounding board for the athletes that I've had this past track and field season, but it's been amazing to like grow relationships and to teach them about the things that I'm learning about just through this journey. And something that Dr. Seymour likes to say all the time, with great power comes great responsibility. So it's just super important to realize we have all of this power in our hands. And if we're not responsible, we could affect people in a negative way. And that's why it's so crucial for us to work with each other, to network with each other and utilize these awesome organizations that are at our fingertips to be able to grow and continue to change and just develop these amazing children and get them just loving physical activity again. And I'll jump off my high horse and let somebody else talk. But yes, thank you.
I think a great point, Sam, definitely. And I also think not only do, speaking to your point, not only do we have a chance to push our students forward, but the professional associations have give us a chance to push our profession forward. Because so many times we're marginalized looking at, oh, we're just recess. How many times have you heard, oh, well, you know, I thought PE was just recess with ball, right? This professional associations allow us to actually legitimize, to prove that we're a legitimate teaching profession and that there's a lot more that goes into it than just, hey, just climb on the monkey bars and see how you do. So I think that's a great point as well.
A little off subject. I kind of wanted to, I know that we've mentioned that this past year, a little, probably more than a year, has been really difficult for us as professionals, adapting to the new way of getting these professional developments and such, but it's even probably more difficult for our students, you know, so that I think we owe it to them who are dealing with this challenging time as young ones, to do all that we can for them.
I Mike, I believe that goes, it ties into what Sam was saying in regards to professional development being our responsibility and our responsibility of giving them things that they're uncertain of. It is like, there is great responsibility in having power, and they look to us as we're the experts in our field, as we should maintain that standard for ourselves.
That's an excellent point. Nice way to segue to some of the other themes in the article, perhaps. So we're, you know, we're preaching to the proverbial choir, right? We all of you value the membership, the association. What are your thoughts about those critical arguments from those that do not join the association that were posed in the article?
That's a great question there, Dr. Seymour. And in fact, I have a follow-up to that. That's a great question. I made some copious
notes. Go ahead, please do.
Good point. I wait for that answer first, and then I want to follow up with a question to that point. Anyone, please, that question. That's a great question.
Well, I was going to respond. According to the article, one of the reasons why people don't join are that for financial reasons, and that they don't think that what they're going to get out of it is worth it. To that, I say you probably haven't been to one. If you ever been to one, you'll realize that you're wrong, and that it's worth so much more than what money could pay for. What you're able to bring back for your students and for your profession is worth a lot more than you think it is.
I'd like and to Michael, jump. Oh, go ahead, Kyle. You want me to go ahead? Okay. Oh, so sorry. So this is Sam again. So I definitely think it's silly when people say, come up with whatever excuse that it is that they believe that they don't need to join a professional organization such as Shape America or New York State AFERD, because as educators, we're always learning. You never stop learning. We should be the first people to realize that we need to constantly be learning. So how else are we going to constantly learn if we're not utilizing these amazing opportunities that professional development from these amazing organizations are offering us literally to our fingertips? I completely understand people not having the money and that kind of stuff, but typically I feel like most people are just not wanting to continue learning, and they're stuck in their old ways, and they like the way they're doing things. So they don't want to be uncomfortable. And that's what teaching is. You have to be uncomfortable with everything that you're trying to do. But yes, go ahead, Kyle.
And to speak on that great point as well, I think this is where your professional legacy comes in, because your article brings up the idea of reaching out to a professional hitchhiker that, and right now I feel fortunate that, speaking of the like-minded people angle of it, we understand that how the value of professional associations. Other professional hitchhikers, as the article describes them as, they don't know. So one of our professional one of our legacies and on our journey is to try to reach as many of those people as we can to say, hey, just to let you know, this is something that's extremely important to being an effective educator, you know, and not talk down to.
We lost Kyle on that. His sound has dropped out, but some poignant points, Kyle. Fantastic. Dr. Ramsey, did you want to add?
Yes, indeed. Folks, great stuff. Sam brought up a very good point that I like. And when you talked about, you just said about it's evolution. We're always learning something right new, and many of you said it too in your own way. But it's interesting that you brought up that point, because during professional learning opportunity that we had this past year with teachers, even when we did our online professional learning opportunities, there were some teachers who didn't know that power is now part of the skill, the health related fitness is now part of it. It's one of the components, right? And that's an interesting point, because had I been involved and I've been, you know, in tune with what's happening as far as changes, I believe, in my humble opinion, that would be something that they should have, like, why it was shocking to them. So I like the fact that you brought it up. A lot of great points that you brought up. But my question for this group And I for those of you who are already working, or for those of you who have been through an interview process, I thought about, in the article, it talked about the point that people said the lack of benefit related to the cost membership, which I think is ludicrous for them to even think that you can put a price on your professional growth. That's just my opinion. However, when it says that the other part, when it says that the argument was that their employer does not pay for membership, if you are not, first of all, you all advocates, clearly you are a voice for this field. But if you're not producing or showing the what you're doing or learning and growing with your students to your administrators, then how you expect your administrators to then what? Want to subsidize some sort of a payment for you to be a professionally involved in something. So the question that I have for this group is, and it's a follow-up to Dr. Clancy's piece, is did you have the opportunity to share with your interviewers during your inception, whether it was for your job or whether it's for student teaching at some point, anyone here had an opportunity to share or ask, are you a member of any professional organizations affiliated to your discipline? That's the question for this group. And think about it in terms of, you might be asked that question, but I just want to know if anyone had that opportunity to share, whether you were asked or not, this question about being professionally involved.
I could speak on that. This is Mike McCoy again. I wasn't asked necessarily, but my current principal is a big advocate for physical education. So I definitely got lucky. So in the interview process with me, when he offered me the job, he said, just so you know, whatever you need as far as professional developments or whatever, or organizations, anything like that, just know that you have my back. He has my back, which was a weight off my shoulder, because I came from a job where I wouldn't say he wouldn't, but the resources were significantly less. So to know that he was on our team, the PE team, was really a weight lifted.
I would also like to add something to this. My name is Sarah Fernald again. I just went through the interview process for a job in the Binghamton area. And during that interview, I was not asked about it. But back when I student taught, I got lucky to have a meeting at the end of my student teaching placement with the principal at the Leroy Central School District. And he gave me the advice that in the little beginning of when they say, tell me about yourself, to kind of talk that into your interview. So that could be why they didn't ask me. But back when I had the interview for my long-term sub position, I also wasn't asked about it. So that's mine.
Clancy, I'd like to jump in for a minute. This is Colleen Corsi, and I'm intrigued by this entire conversation, and there's a number of points that I'd like to speak to. But right now, I want to make a suggestion. So any of you that are going to be interviewing for a job, I've always thought that you should, you know, they always say, do you have any questions? And a lot of times we get a little bit nervous in that environment and you don't have any. And I think one of the best questions that you can all ask is, will you support me in my professional development? And I'm also a firm believer that as a professional, you know, physical education teachers, all teachers, we always want to be viewed as professionals. And I don't think we feel in society as a whole that teachers are raised up the way that they should be and respected the way that they should be for the important work that they do. And if you look at other professions like dentistry or physicians or attorneys, you know, they're all viewed as professionals and they have professional development that's required. And then we have teachers that don't feel that it's their obligation. And I feel, and I felt this way for many, many years, that as a professional educator, I am responsible for my own professional membership. I personally would not ask my school to pay for my professional membership. I'm 23 years in this job as executive director of New York State AFERT, and I pay my dues annually out of my own pocket. So I feel very strongly about that, but I would ask wherever I'm interviewing, will you give me the time for my professional development? I want to go to state conference. I want to go to my local zone conference. I want to maybe at some point in my career, go to a national convention. are you going to give me the time to do that? That would be my thing. And I mean, unless I was desperate for a job, if the school district where I was interviewing did not support their teachers' professional development, I would personally think twice about wanting to work there, because I think it says an awful lot about the district. Thank you.
Can I piggyback off that? So I haven't been through the interview process yet, but through my practicum site, I learned that the elementary phys ed teacher that I was visiting is actually in on the interviews. So I asked him, what are some of the questions you ask people for your interviews? And he actually mentioned, he brought up if you were a part of your professional association, and he also asked about the New York State standards and incorporating them with the lesson plans. And then talking with, I was in the gym setting at Falk, so I got to be around those PE teachers for a couple of years now, and the district, they don't pay for the membership, but what's nice is they told me that they actually pay to send them out, like the hotel room and everything, and it's very highly encouraged for them to go do it, and it's a full day paid off. So I think the school district for Falk, at least, I'm not sure about what other districts, and Falk basically goes by what whatever Buffalo Public curriculum is, Falk kind of tends to follow. So I think that was amazing, especially for the area, and it only will benefit the students as well. I think Clarence, where I'm at now currently, they did mention that some of it would be paid for, but I just know, like, from Falk and like hearing from it, they take good care of them with that. So I was very excited for the PE teachers, because they love, I've heard such amazing stories about the conference. So I'm definitely excited about going in the future to one of these conferences.
In regards to everything that Ms. Corsi said, I absolutely believe and value those were my very thoughts as you were speaking. And when I took the job that I'm currently at, I came from a school that did not support my professional development. And that was one of the biggest reasons why I chose to leave that school, because if they weren't going to value me as a teacher and allow me to grow, I could not provide the best practice to my students, because I wasn't growing. So it was a disservice to everybody across the board. So when I went on that next interview, those questions that you mentioned in regards to, am I going to have the available time off to be able to do these things? And anybody that has not gone into the interview process, you are your biggest advocate, and you have to go in with the mindset that you matter just as much as anybody else, if not more. And you have to set that tone right across the board, because otherwise, you know, sometimes, well, we only have a limited funding for phys ed. Well, like Ms. Corsi said, if you have a limited funding for phys ed, I'm not sure that this is the job that I'm going to put myself into that position.
Ms. Giambaluca, you're making a very good point there. I appreciate you piggybacking on that piece that Ms. Corsi made. Maybe think about a part in the article where the author shared in the latter part, where it says, moreover, given the current climate of education, can HPE professionals afford not to join? It says then perhaps HPE professional hitchhikers who ponder these perspectives may transform their thinking from what do I get, quote unquote, to what can be given back philosophy. I love that, because we just recently, and this is perhaps the second phys ed teacher in New York City to receive the Big Apple Teacher Award, physical education teacher, Ms. Sasha Rup Chand, who texted me 10 seconds ago to say, oh my goodness, my membership with New York State expired. I have to renew it. I said, awesome, because there's no way I'm going to send your information that we have in New York City to the New York State Association with you not being a member of our organization. That was just my way of doing the advocacy piece. But I love what you just said, because it is imperative, because we can give back to the profession. We give back to the profession. You all alluded to the fact that you can not only attend, but you can partake in workshops, conduct workshops yourself. I remember the days when Queens College students and other colleges, Canisius included, have a group of contingency of students presenting workshops. And all we said to our professionals were, we need to go to students presenting. Let's support the students presenting, because those are the future of our profession. So I could not agree with you more than Ms. Giambaluca. Did I say that right? Giambaluca, did I say that right? Okay. And when you piggyback on Ms. Corsi's point, so this stood out to me in the article, and I love this part right here, but this article renewed my sense of purpose. And this is an article that I'm going to share with my own students, those who are members or those who may be contemplating about why do I have to pay for something. And I agree with Colleen, even as an undergraduate student, she'll tell you, I was going to these conferences and I wasn't making any boatload of money, or, you know, that's, I wanted to grow. That's what it is. And y'all made some very good points with that. And I thank you. And I can go on more because there's so much stuff going on here, but let's go. Go.
Well, I just want to chime in here as well. We have a brand new system in place, and you can actually join for the year, but pay $10.61 or something a month. So we're hoping that helps. We're hoping it's a bridge for students, undergrad and graduates, to maintain their memberships because it's just a little bit easier. So that's, you know, that's the other thing that I wanted to remind you. But even more so important than that is that we're talking a lot about professional development, but in terms of your membership in the association, and there's so many more things that we offer. It's not just conferences, you know, it's not just virtual online experiences. There's leadership opportunities. I mean, I think I'm going to, before we're done, I'm going to take a picture of the screen and I'm going to put it up on my wall, and I'm going to watch each of you and say, okay, so who's going to become involved in New York State AFER? Who's going to be on the executive council? Who's going to be a section president? Who's going to be a zone president? Who's going to be the next New York State AFER president, right? There's so many opportunities for leadership, and people have mentioned, and this is vital, is the networking. That is a huge service that you get as a result of being a member of New York State AFER. Then when you become an active member of New York State AFER, it just is, you know, explodes by so many different opportunities at the local level, at the state level, and then again, even at the national level. So, and then the other thing is we recognize excellence in teaching as well. You know, we have a very robust awards program. And if you don't, you don't join the teaching profession because of the pay. You don't join the teaching profession because you're going to get an award, but it's awful nice when your colleagues recognize you and say, you know what, this person is putting the work in. This person is passionate about their job. And when it comes to teaching, if you are not passionate about your job, then you need to find another career, because teaching is too important. And teaching physical education, health education, you know, if you wake up every morning and you don't feel good, nothing else really matters. You have a huge responsibility in the profession that you've chosen. It's a huge responsibility. It's serious. It's important. And you have to get up and go to work every day with that passion in your heart. And when you, and you know, when those students enter into your gymnasium or your classroom, you got to be on, you got to be enthusiastic, you've got to be smart, you've got to be prepared. It is important work.
Yes, I one piece also that I thought about, you have opportunities to change hearts and change minds. So here it is, Sasha Rupchan went into a school that the administrator, because of the work she did and because of her professional involvement, the administrator embraced and supported her. Now imagine the school, to Jambela's point, Jambeluka's point, coming from another school in which she did not have that type of support. You know how jealous that former principal is now to say, oh my goodness, I let a superstar leave my environment, a superstar who could have taken this program to another level. And because of her leadership and professionalism, she was able to take that school, that program, to another level. So clearly, professional involvement, to Kali's point, leadership and involvement in every area, because everybody's not going to be the president or the president-elect or a section president. But if you have an important role within a section and you have a voice, absolutely, you are all leaders as well. So you don't have to need that title to be a leader, but you're part of that process because there's work for us to do and to give back. So this article again was amazing, and I really appreciate reading it.
Thanks, Dr. Ramsey and Ms. Corsi and everyone. Fantastic dialogue and discussion. So, you know, part of being joining the professional association, and again, kudos to my And thank you to my students who recognize some of the important points we discuss all the time. But part of that journey is not always when things are going well, but perhaps when things are not going well. And, you know, I'm going to put Dr. Ramsey and Ms. Corsi on the spot a little bit, but, you know, there are instances where the association has to come to the rescue of the profession or of a school district, or in Dr. Ramsey's case, several years ago with the PE Works Initiative, recognizing that we need more PE teachers in New York City schools. That's where New York State AFERT is as a partner, as an advocate, has the back of the profession. That's why it's our duty to be a part of it. And I would add, ask Victor, Dr. Ramsey, excuse me, or Ms. Corsi to add to that if they'd like to.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, when you're writing grants at times for school, they always ask, what affiliations do this discipline have with your line of work? Right off the cuff, New York State AFERT, Shape America, that should be front and center. So these are opportunities that we have had collaborating with New York State AFERT in not only advocating for physical education in New York City, folks, and of course, Michael, who teaches, knows this, over 1,500 schools, I think 1.2 million students now. So again, this professional affiliation piece that I'm talking about, if you're writing a grant, I think it's something that carries weight. In other words, you are saying to whomever's reading this grant or this proposal for a grant, you're saying to them that there is advocacy or there is professional learning or there is support for this initiative that you are putting forth, i.e. teachers, bringing them to a conference, state conference. And we did it, I believe, 2-3 years in a row. Sadly, funding kind of depleted a bit, but that's okay. And we got a little nervous this school year, but guess what? We're back on the track again. The city is going to get the money again. And guess what? Teachers who went to the past to this day are still saying, I can't wait to get this opportunity to go back again. I can't wait this opportunity again. I learn so much when I go to these conferences, when I collaborate, when I network. Teachers are still talking about this. So this is a journey. Education is a quest from the cradle until ellipsis. We continue. We're always growing. And this is great opportunities. And That's my piece on that question right there. I think it's great that you can put that down as part of your advocacy for writing grants and to making a case for why you can go. Always remember this. Principals, administrators are going to ask, what exactly is XYZ workshop is going to bring to students? And you can make the case. I don't care what workshop you use in New York State AFERT. You can make it from Sarah's technology workshop. Am I right? Sarah technology all the way to social emotional learning. You can tie in anything and make the case. So that's my piece right there on that.
And the thing that I'll add is that one of the things that I enjoy most about my work is providing services to our members. And one of those services, I refer to it as technical assistance. So every week we get calls here where people are saying, this is happening in my district. And what can we do about it? You know, there's one of these things, not sure how familiar you would all be with this, but it's in the regulations, commissioner's regulations, and it's called an opt-out program. And it allows students in grades 10, 11, and 12, if they're participating on an interscholastic athletic team, not to have to participate in physical education. Now there's lots of intricacies to that. This is not the time to go into those. But basically, you know, through the years, I've had hundreds of conversations with teachers that are so upset about that their administration is even considering doing that because there's such a difference between physical education and interscholastic athletics. But of course, people don't really understand that. And so we're able to provide them with some conversational bullet points and ideas to talk to their either director of physical education, their principal, their superintendent, or even their board of education members. So I think that was one of the things that Dr. Seymour was talking about in reference to another service that we provide. And there's all kinds of situations that happen in the locker room and supervision in the locker room. And what am I supposed to do? They're asking me to do this. And all kinds of things through the years, but it's a service that we provide, technical assistance. And another thing, one word that hasn't been mentioned since we began this conversation, and it's the idea of a professional family. And we really promote the idea that New York State AFERT is a professional family. And a lot of different groups, organizations talk about that. You know, we're a family, we're a family. And I can tell you that I have worked very hard over these past 23 years to make New York State AFERT truly a professional family. And I think if you had an opportunity to talk to a lot of long-term members, that they would share that opinion. You know, I've gone to funerals, I've gone to calling hours, I've gone to celebrations, I've gone to retirements. I mean, I've really tried to play an active role. You know, when people, we know that people are suffering because family members are sick, you know, we pick up the phone, we call them, we send cards, we're thinking about you. And I, for me, that's an important piece of New York State AFERT, that we truly see ourselves as a professional family.
Well said, Ms. Corsi. Couldn't agree more. So my last question, yes, one more question for everyone, and not everybody has to answer, but Kyle brought up the professional hitchhiker. What is the professional hitchhiker that's referenced in the article, and how do we connect with that professional hitchhiker? Kyle did speak to it a little bit. Kudos to Kyle. But what could someone explain what the professional hitchhiker term means? And what? How does it relate to this discussion?
I could start us off on the explanation of it. This is Rob speaking again. The professional hitchhiker I've always thought of is the person who got their teacher certification in physical education, and they're in the gymnasium from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. and they go home and that's it. There's no lesson planning. There's no professional development. There's no extracurricular work. I guess this is kind of relatable, but we read about professional legacy, and in the article is referred to as the body of work an individual leaves behind over a lifetime or career. And I always think back to the teachers. When I was first applying to the program, I was thinking like, wow, so many teachers have made such a great impact on my life. Like, I want to be that. That was like part of the reason why I applied and made the change. The professional hitchhiker is pretty much the opposite of that. There is no professional legacy. They're there to, you know, punch the timestamp and then go home at the end of the day, and there's no extra work. And so what we are trying to advocate for is the complete opposite. And that is taking the time after work, preparation, weekends, doing professional development with New York State AFERT, Shape America, whatever it may be. So yeah, the total opposite.
What I love about the article, What I loved about the article was when it said, grab a hitchhiker with you, you know, take them along. There are some professional hitchhikers out there that don't even know that they are, you know, they might not be aware, or they might have just been taught, hey, do your job, go home. They might not be open, not necessarily that they're not open, but they might not be aware. So it's our job to promote and push forward our profession. Sorry, Kyle, I cut you off.
I just want to say I completely agree with that, because I a professional hitchhiker to me, not
thanks Kyle, your sound again.
They take all of those standards that a professional community develops and then takes it as their own and uses it, and never ever once are they involved with the planning of it? Are they involved with the hard work of it? And not only are they not involved with it, but for my idea of a professional hitchhiker, as Michael just said, they don't even know that they're missing out on something to not be involved in. So therefore, they could just be out hanging in the wind somewhere and not even knowing that they're using the work of other people. And also, by doing that, they don't have a voice in that work, because they just don't know, or they think that it's not worth their time or their money in order to do that.
In regards to not being aware, it's not always something that you do intentionally or as a professional. Some of the things, the articles we've been reading over the course of this this class that we're taking, they've been talking about sometimes you conform to what your role is according to your administrators or teachers that you work with. And sometimes when you're our, you know, if we're not valued and we're marginalized, you start to take not, I mean, if you have a strong belief and you refuse to do that, but many teachers start to take that label and they conform and they don't do these things because they have been told no, or they just not, they're not encouraged to do that. So it's not as though they're not aware, but sometimes they fall into that category. Well, they'll just do bare minimum because that's what's expected of them at their school. And that's, they're kind of obligated in order to keep their position. They're not allowed to have a voice because they want them to have minimal voice.
I think it has a lot to do with school culture.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that happens. You know, you bring up a really valuable, very unfortunate point. That happens a lot. Young teachers get into district with some older professional or older whatever people, you don't even want to really call them professionals, but who really have been just rolling out the ball, and they don't have a strong director that's professionally active, if they even have a director. And yeah, and then it is really hard for new teachers to go in and kind of, you know, buck that system, so to speak. I mean, I've had people call, you know, with that technical assistance thing and say things like, I don't know what to do. You know, I know this isn't right, but they're telling me, you know, just, you know, keep it quiet. Don't say that. You're going to make us have to do more work. I mean, can you even imagine that? But it happens. It happens. And it's really sad, and it's really hard for new young teachers who truly embrace the profession and the professionalism of being an educator. It's a very hard situation to find yourself in.
It was a heated debate when I was an undergraduate student with a colleague who said exactly that. I am not going to go to play somewhere where that's the norm, and I'm going to come and try to ruffle feathers. And I said to him, but if your conviction or your philosophy of what is the right thing to do for students is this, why are you going to become complacent with what's not right? So that was a huge debate when I was in school with this colleague of mine, who's not like my best friend today. But the one idea that I thought about, professional hitchhiker, as Dr. Clancy mentioned, and the fact that it was brought up again that sometimes people are not aware, based on what we read in the article as well. One strategy that I thought about is to continue doing what we're doing with finesse, with professionalism, and share that information, whether directly or indirectly. Sometimes you don't have to say, well, this is where I got it from. But when your colleagues and other people in that school community see the things that you're doing, posting, sharing, at some point, someone is going to ask, or someone will say, where do you get all this stuff from? And that's one way of hooking back a professional hitchhiker, someone who may be benefiting for you from you in a distant way, or in a sort of like a kind of, you know, secluded way that they don't want people to know that they are, I don't want to make you feel like you're helping me a lot. They might be getting that help, having the help, and don't know how to ask, but please don't be selfish with that information. You share it strategically and then hook them and say, this is where I got it from. And you could get more if we were both members. This is the kind of benefits we both will get. So that's one way, in my opinion, a strategy to hook the professional hitchhiker in, as you were asking that question about professional hitchhiker and the definition of him or her.
Phenomenal. Indeed. Dr. Ramsey, I think Ms. Corsi speaks to socialization issues in physical education. We have a podcast now, another episode to bring on Dr. Kevin Andrews Richards to chat about socialization and the competing tensions of socialization in the profession, for sure. So I'd love to thank you for the kind words about the article. I'd love to take credit for the professional hitchhiker moniker, but actually Colleen can speak to that. Ms. Corsi can speak to that, although she's significantly younger than I am. That comes from a 1926 New York State AFER Journal article, terminology, the professional hitchhiker. So she can certainly explain that as well, but that's a borrowed term that's still certainly relevant today.
Yeah, that was very interesting how relevant it is today. But what it really referred to in that article was that, so people who are not members of their professional organization I mean, and you've all talked to like Rob and Kyle and Michael, I think spoke to this idea that there are different kinds of hitchhikers. I think in the particular article, it was referencing people who never become members of their professional organization, but they reap the benefit of a lot of the things that we do. And I think the most obvious one is advocacy. It's another service that we provide. We do all kinds of advocacy. Dr. Ramsey went down to Washington and advocated with a group of people from across the country with members of Congress about ESSA and about years ago about Carolyn White grants and having millions and millions of dollars pumped into physical education programs across the country. You know, that all takes advocacy. So if the leaders of the organizations in New York State and across the country are doing all that advocacy, and then people who don't choose to belong to their professional organization reap the benefit, that is another form of a professional hitchhiker. And Clancy, that was really, I think, what your article was about, because it was about professional memberships.
Thank you, yes. Well, at this point, I'd like to ask my co-host, Dr. Ramsey, if he has any parting words. Of course, any of our teacher candidates or HP professionals, if you have any parting words, and of course, Ms. Colleen Corsi, any parting words before we wrap up for today?
My heartfelt gratitude to your scholarship you delivered. You know, you shared your thoughts. I took a lot of notes. I used words like I thought about a word, reflecting, flourishing, excellence, eager to learn, to grow, advocacy, compliance. I mean, technology, mental health, responsibility. I mean, I took a lot of notes because you were able to share again. I'm always a sponge. I want to know more and I want to learn more. And I thank you for this time today. And my parting words would be very simple. Continue doing what you're doing. You're on the right track, on the right journey.
Continue the journey. Thanks, Dr. Ramsey. Ms. Corsi, anything to add?
Sure. I also want to say thank you. This is an opportunity that I don't get very often. I sit up here in my office, you know, basically by myself with staff around me, but in my big office by myself. And it's really, really nice. I kind of feel like I'm out in the world a little bit, having the opportunity to see all you and speak with you and hear what you have to say about the experiences that you've had thus far. And so I'm grateful as well. And then finally, my parting words have to do with President Dr. Clancy Seymour's logo and his theme for his 2 years as president of New York State AFERD. And it's a professional legacy as a journey. What path will you travel? So you are all just at a point in your career where you're, most of you, where you're just starting out. And even if you've been teaching for 8 years or 17 years or whatever it's been, you know, today is the time. You can start this professional journey and you can create your own legacy. And I just think it's a beautiful way to think about your career. And as you're making decisions, to be super proactive, to be involved in your school community, in your community at large, in your professional organization. I think it's so important, and start keeping track about the things that you do, because you think this is like, so somebody that can't remember a lot of things day to day because of the whole aging process, but you think right now you're going to remember. And you don't always, as the years pass, because you're going to be so busy, you know, with your jobs, with your families, with your volunteerism, with your coaching. You are going to be busy people. So keep track of the things that you contribute, the things that you give back, because it's very, very important. And you have to create that professional legacy. And, you know, honestly, I wish somebody had talked to me about this. Those many, many years ago, because I think it would have made a difference. It resonated with me when Clancy came up with this logo, I think, and this theme, and I just think it's super important. You know what you should do? You should take it and you should cut it off or put it on the computer and print it out, and you should hang it on your wall or your bathroom mirror or somewhere, and you should look at it every day, and it should make a difference to you in your professional career. Thank
I'd
you.
Like to just
call in. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jen, please.
I just wanted to say that, Ms. Corsi, that you deserve an office out of isolation.
Indeed, indeed. Well,
thank you.
Well, on behalf of New York State AFERD, Dr. Ramsey, Ms. Corsi, and all our members, we would like to thank the graduate students from Canisius College for joining us this evening to share their thoughts and perspectives. Thank you. Well done. This session will be posted on the New York State AFERD website and as our fifth episode on our podcast channel. Stay tuned for episode 6 and 7, where we continue this project with more graduate students. Please visit us on newyorkstateaford.org, social media handles at New York State AFERD, or call us at 315-823-1015 for more information. And don't forget to mark your calendars for our Returning to the Turning Stone, November 18th to the 21st. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Dr. Seymour.
Thank you.
Nice to meet all of you. Bye, Victor.
Bye.